You know, we're so glad that you are here today. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a joy to share with you from the Word today. We're going to finish up our series that we've entitled, Hey Jude. Any Beatles fans here? Aren't you a little disappointed that we didn't actually sing that song? And we're going to finish that up today. Starting next Sunday, actually, we're going to get into a brand new study. It's entitled Words with the Word, Conversations with Jesus. We're going to look at the Gospel of John and some different episodes that Jesus had in his life when he helped people, when he taught people, encouraged people, changed people's lives. Conversations with Jesus, a word with the Word. You remember how John starts in the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was the Word, a word with the Word. And we're going to be looking at that for several weeks. It's going to be a good, good time. But let's jump in and finish Hey Jude. Hey, I want to encourage you today to end the same way that you began. I want to encourage you today to end with the same joy and enthusiasm as you had in the beginning. Doesn't always happen, right? I mean, have you ever asked somebody out on a date? Man, you were so excited. You just couldn't wait. You had it all planned. And then you go on the date, and about halfway through, you're like, I like my cat better than this person. Or maybe they're thinking that about you, right? I want to encourage you to end with the same enthusiasm with which you began. I mean, you ever cooked a meal, and you're so excited? Man, you know, all these ingredients, the pictures, you know. I mean, the video on Pinterest, right? And then when you make it, you get about halfway through, or maybe you even finish it, and you're like, rake that one into the garbage, right? A lot of times, things that start with so much promise don't end that way. Now, you saw this just a few weeks ago. Any Atlanta Falcon fans here? About 9/10 of the way through that game, they were all excited. Then something happened, right? I mean, that happens to us a lot. We don't always end. Things don't turn out the way we wish that they would. You know, some of us here today, we went through things in our life, and those things are still haunting us today. They're still troubling us today. There's some of you that are here that went through some really tough things in life, and now your life is great. Your life is filled with joy. In other words, you're going to end the way that you want to end in spite of some difficult things. I think that that's what the book of Jude ends with. Jude ends with what is called his doxology. Now, I know those of us that have been in church for a long time, we know about a doxology, right? Right? A few of you, okay, just two. All right, let me explain this to you then, okay? Doxology is actually a word. It's a compound word from the Greek, and it literally means words of glory. Glory words. It's the word for glory, and it's the word for words. Words of glory. Doxology is a simple hymn written to declare one's allegiance and dependence upon God. Now, when I was a kid, when I was growing up in church a long time ago, we sang the doxology. Does that mean anything to you? We sang the doxology every church service we had. We always did it at a particular time in the service. It was when the offering had been taken and the guys were standing down front with the offering, and everybody would stand up and we would sing these words before we got into the rest of the service, and it was known as the doxology. Do you know this? Would you sing it with me? Okay, he's going to turn my mic off at any minute, right? Is my mic turned off? Jude ends his little book with a doxology. Here it is. He says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. That is the doxology of Jude. Now, like any doxology, I don't think it's easily understood unless you understand the context. Now, over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the context of Jude, so we know a little bit about what Jude has to say here in the rest of his book. If you remember, how did he start his book? Remember I said I want you to end the same way you started? He started his book with what? I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's loved by God. When you look at this particular book, you see lots of different things about the context of Jude. And not all of it is positive. If you remember in verse number 3, he says that I appeal to you to contend for the faith. In verse 4, he talks about the perversion of the grace of God. Think about that. Anybody see any perversion today in our culture and in our time pertaining to the grace that God has given? Verse 7, he says, he describes those that indulge in sexual immorality and who pursue unnatural desires. He says in verse 11, woe to them. Woe to those that are false teachers and speaking falsehoods about God. Verse 18, he uses the word scoffers, that there will be scoffers in the last times. In verse 20, he says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Verse 23, he says that we need to show mercy with caution. You see, I think that the context of Jude is really important to understanding his doxology. And the same is true about your life and my life. I think that people would better understand the song that we're singing if they understand and they know your life and what's going on and what's happening. You know, for example, I was at a conference one time and I saw a good friend of mine, John Vance. And he was coming down the hallway of this busy convention center, and I saw him, and as I looked at him, I'm like, and I was about to give him a hug and say hello, and he made eye contact with me, and he just walked right by me. And I'm like, oh. I'm thinking, that is rude. And I spent the rest of that day thinking bad thoughts about my friend John Vance that I served with at a church in Central Ohio. I dare him. He was my friend. I didn't see him anymore for the rest of that conference. And when I got home, I ran into him and I saw him and he came up and he gave me a hug. And I'm like, John, I saw you at the North American and you didn't even acknowledge that who I was. You didn't give me a hug. You didn't say hello. I was ready to have lunch or invite you to lunch. And then he let me know. He said, John, did I ever tell you that I have a twin brother? And I said, no, you never mentioned that. That would have been good information to have. Because I was about to treat this fellow in a way that he shouldn't be treated. He did not know me. You see, when you know somebody's context, you understand their song. So when you read this doxology of Jude, when you understand the context, the whys behind the writing, it makes so much sense. For example, he says to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. You know, God, the God that we serve, he's able to keep us from falling. I mean, think about the context of Jude And why he said that, think about it. You know, because I'll guarantee you that Jude has the same regrets that many of us have. I wish I would have gotten my act together sooner and wish I'd have done more. Jude, the brother of Jesus, who for a time denied that Jesus was the Christ. But he finally came around. And now he says to him who's able to keep you from stumbling. I think he's saying that Jesus, our Savior, God, our Father, is able to keep us from stumbling like that. And falling down like that. God is able to keep us from stumbling. Think about it. He's able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to keep you from stumbling from your own sin. Right? He's able to keep you from making the mistakes that so easily are made by you. I mean, if you're here today and you're struggling with a particular sin in your life, God can help you with that. God can keep you from stumbling from that. But then notice, he also can keep us from stumbling from the sins of others. Over and over and over again, he talks about the scoffers, the false teachers, the sexually immoral. He talks about the sins of others. And here in this doxology, he gives praise to God because God is able to keep me from stumbling. He's able to keep me from committing the sins that so easily come upon me. And he's also able to help me to avoid the sins of others that will affect my life. He also says here that he's able to keep you from stumbling and also to present you before his glorious presence. Think about that. God wants to do something with us here so that he can present us to the Father later. Think about that. Because tied up in that is this whole idea of your doxology and being able to sing the song that God wants you to sing. And he helps us with that. He helps us with that by his grace and by his mercy and by his redemption. He wants to keep you from stumbling, and he wants to present you before his glorious presence. Now let me give you something here, though. I want to give you a revelation. I want to give you a confession. All right? Just from my heart to yours, a revelation and a confession, and then an encouragement. Okay, here's the revelation. And please don't listen to me all the way through this before you kind of process this all the way. If I were to say this morning that I was going to bring every girl or woman that I'd ever had any kind of sexual contact with at all, if I were going to bring them all up on this stage, do I have your attention? I do, don't I? Okay. There would only be one. There would only be one. Now, before you go too far with that, let me that's the revelation. Let me give you the confession. Don't feel very good about me. My life when I was a teenager was as dark as you can imagine. You know, when my girls were growing up, and when guys would come around and they would want to date my daughters, I would take them aside and I'd say, "Listen, I know what's in that head of yours. Don't try to look old goody-two-shoes with me. You know, don't open the door for my wife and think that I'm going to think you're a gentleman, because I know you're not." Okay? You know, Jesus said that you should not commit adultery, but I say to you that if you look on a person or a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. My heart has been as dark as anybody else's. And see, that's the thing here. God wants to present us before his glorious presence, and he keeps us in order to do that. But it's not based on our perfection. It's based on redemption that we found in him. Every person in this room has so many things that they need or hopefully have asked God to forgive them of. And you know what? Way back then, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was a teenager. And I believe with all my heart that because I was serious about that commitment, because Arlene was serious about that commitment, we allowed him to keep us. Now, that's a beautiful thing, but that's something that's here for all of us, regardless of how good we think we've lived or how bad we think we've lived. We all are in need of redemption from him. He wants to keep you. He wants to present you before his glorious presence. Now, let me show you something else here that I think is really cool. He says to the only God, our Savior, be what? Be glory and majesty and power and authority. Now, here's the thing. Your doxology comes not from what you are able to do, but how much you know that God can do and wants to do for you. Glory, majesty, power, and authority. Think about it. What's glory? Glory is his character. That you are just in amazement of his character. Majesty is his beauty, that you can see how wonderful and how awesome and how beautiful the grace and the mercy of God is. His power is about his ability and what he's able to do. And his authority is what his power is based on. Do you know that? I mean, do you see and know and have these things in your life and in the song that you're singing? Because he wants our song at the end to be as full as much joy as it was in the beginning. I want to talk to you about your doxology. About your doxology. Think about it. It says here that he's able to keep us from stumbling. When I read that passage, I thought of Adam. Lived in a perfect place. God able to keep him from stumbling. He stumbled big, didn't he? I thought about the angels in the presence of God himself doing his bidding. The Bible's clear that, and even says this in part of Jude, that the angels rebelled and God cast them down out of heaven. That the devil himself was a beautiful angel at one particular time. They fell. God was able to keep them from stumbling, but they fell. I thought about the Apostle Peter, denied the Lord over and over and over again. He fell. I thought about Judas and how he fell. The Apostle Paul, he even said, the very things that I should do, I don't do. The things I want to do, I don't do. Poor, wretched man that I am, he said. You see, God is able. Isn't that amazing? He says God is able. The kicker here is if we are allowing him to do this in our life. So what is your doxology? You know, there's some 26 doxologies just in the New Testament alone. One of my favorites comes from Romans chapter 16. This is the Apostle Paul in the last part of his book to the Romans in verse 25. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of my mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Do you ever notice that? Doxologies always end with amen. You know what that means? It means that you can't write and sing your doxology until it's settled. I mean, as long as your life is in flux, as long as your faith is in question, you can't settle on your doxology. But God wants us to settle on our doxology. He wants us to say amen, that this is a settled issue in my life, that I'm going to be faithful to the end, that I'm going to obey Him and love Him. Therefore, I know that these things are true for me. This is my doxology. I know that God is this person, and this is how He's going to be with me. Amen. What's your doxology? Yesterday, Arlene and I drove to Baltimore. I have a cousin who lives down there. Her name's Kitty. Kitty Zaccone. Her husband is John. John and Kitty. They've actually visited here with us at First Church. You might remember them some years ago. But over the last few years, Kitty, my first cousin, has gotten very sick. She's contracted a disease, and I can't even tell you what the name of it is. It's kind of like ALS. She is now paralyzed. She cannot speak. She cannot sit up. I mean, it's really, really bad. We had not seen her in 2 years. We drove down to Baltimore, and we visited there at their home. We walked in. And I must say to you, Arlene and I both were just shocked at how bad she got. I got down on one knee and tried to look at her, because they say that she's aware, that even though she has this terrible disease, that inside she's aware. She has some control of her thoughts and knows who's there. So I wanted her to see me, and I told her I loved her and loved her mother. Her mother was my mother's sister. And then after a while, John, her husband, who's my hero, and you'll see why, he brought out their wedding album, 52 years. And we were looking at their wedding pictures. And seeing the picture of her in the wedding dress, and just beautiful young lady, and seeing the picture, you know, of him, and although he's still pretty healthy now, and you know, him walking her down the aisle, and seeing the picture of my aunt, who's been gone for many years now, and even my sister, who was the flower girl in the wedding, and you know, all, it was just incredible, beautiful. But you know what I thought of? It just blew me away that he could sit there and look at this wedding album with us and have joy and honor and just enjoy the pictures and love the pictures and reminisce about the pictures. And here's the woman in the wedding album laying there in this little chair, just a small shell of herself, just waiting for it to be over. And I'm thinking, how in the world can he do that? And here's what I came up with. The only way that he could do that is because of the way that he felt about her 52 years ago. It's still the same. And his love for her was just unbelievable. At one point, he said, you know, I need to take Kitty back in the room for just a moment. And he very lovingly picked her up and put her in a little wheelchair that was there and took her back. And we just sat and waited, and finally he brought her back in and he put her back in the chair and he covered her up. And I'm not even sure how much she knew what was going on there. And then later in the afternoon, he said, it's time for Kitty's ice cream. She loves ice cream. He went in the kitchen and he got a bowl, and it had just a scoop of ice cream in it. And he came back in and he sat down there beside her. And literally for 40 minutes, he fed her almost drop by drop of that ice cream. She really couldn't eat. Matter of fact, he said it's the only thing she'd eaten the entire day. But he said she loves her ice cream. You know what struck me? Was how much he loved her. unbelievable. And the only way that can happen is with a settled love. The only way you can sing this doxology is with a settled faith. The only way the end of your song can be sung with as much joy and exuberance as the beginning is when things are settled and you can say, amen. This will be who I am all the days of my life. You know, on our way home yesterday, I called Kitty's brother, my other first cousin. He lives in Texas. His name is Frank. He said to me when he answered, I said, hey, Frank. He said, hey, Cousin Johnny. He said, you know what? I'm glad we're family. And then the second thing he said was, he said that John, his brother-in-law, Kitty's husband, he said, he's my hero. He said, I was there in December, and he said, just the outpouring of love from him to her was just amazing, and I totally agreed. So I ask you today, what's your doxology? What's the last verse to your song? I hope that it is full of all of the faith and all of the assurance and all of the knowledge of knowing who God is and what He's done for all of us. You know, when my cousin Kitty's life is over, she's going to be with Jesus. But you know what? Her husband, their children, grandchildren will have this to hang on to all their lives, of how His love for her guided every moment of His day. Does your love for Jesus guide your every moment of your day? If it doesn't, let's ask Him to come into our heart and help to boost that kind of love for Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, none of us are worthy of your love, of your devotion. But God, we thank you so much for it. Can't imagine how your brother Jude, Lord, questioned and wondered about you and who you were. And then, Father, he finally understood, finally accepted you. And then, Lord, he was able to write and sing his doxology, his declaration, Lord, of glory for you, his words of glory. And, Lord, I pray that the end of our song would be full of praise and honor and glory as well. And that's our prayer, Lord, that we would be able to have that and know that you want to keep us and present us. That, Lord, you want us to look at you in this way and to see your glory, to see your majesty, to see your authority, Lord, your character. And then, Father, to have a settled faith, a faith that we can say amen to, because this is who we're going to be for the rest of our days. These are the vows that we've made to you and to others. And help us, Lord, to hold on to those. And God, I pray that you'd be the strength and stay for every person here this morning. Lord, I know that there are some here really all of us that have fallen so short of this sometimes. But just help us, Lord, to confess those things to you, to accept your freely given forgiveness and mercy. And then, Lord, to declare a settled faith in you and to know of our salvation that we have in you. And, Lord, as we sing this awesome song about how strong you are, may our strength in you, Lord, increase. In Jesus' name, amen.